welcome everyone to our Friday night podcast. God bless you for being here. I was just informed before we got on, Benji, who is the keeper of this type of knowledge, just informed us that we have hit our 1 year anniversary of doing the podcast.
Praise God.
So if he's correct about that, which kudos to everybody that's been watching.
Which I am correct.
My goodness. Yeah. Benji does not lack for, well, I don't know what the word is, but you don't lack. But so congratulations, everybody, for making it a year.
Keeping tabs on what God is doing here.
We are excited more than ever about what God is doing for the Remnant. And I hope you're excited about what God is doing.
Amen.
And you know,
Amen.
It's not...
Praise the Lord.
The Bible says, you know, that there are those things that don't show themselves till a future time. And that's kind of what's going on with the Remnant right now. The Remnant's getting ready. But when God's timing is perfect, then the Remnant's going to... it's going to take the world by storm. I believe that. I really believe it because God is building towards something very important. He's building toward the end of the ages. That's yes. what he's building right. toward. And so praise the Lord. Well, I've got Benji over here. I've got my wife Julie over here. And we're ready to get this ball rolling. I know Julie said she had a couple of questions that she was going to ask. Before she does that, I'm going to have Benji read a scripture. Now, this scripture is from my message on Sunday morning. I didn't get a chance to really develop it. I actually started my message with it. I don't mean it like this, but it was almost as an afterthought. I just put it in there because I felt the Lord wanted me to. But I really want to maybe develop it more, and you quickly read the questions to me just a minute ago. I don't remember what they were, but I think somehow we'll all fit together. So Benji, read the scripture I read from Sunday morning, and let's get rolling on this podcast about the Remnant. God, okay. God bless you as you listen.
We're in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it.
Well, now, we read in that scripture, it's clearly talking about God's people that were led out of Egypt, led through the wilderness, that didn't make it to the promised land. We know the story about how God said outside of Caleb and Moses, that everyone else,
Joshua.
Excuse me, thank you, Caleb and Joshua, everyone else was going to die. Now again, what does Caleb and Joshua represent? Who do they represent? The Remnant.
The Remnant. Yes.
They represent the Remnant. Once again, showing us how small the Remnant actually is.
You keep talking about 7,000 people, 8 people. That was just 2 people.
Exactly. That once again shows you how small the Remnant of God really is. And that's number one. Second of all, you need to understand why this New Testament writer felt the need to bring that into their book, into their writings, because they were making the point, which we should always do with what we read in the Old Testament, that what they were reading about in the Old Testament was not just pertinent to how they were living. It was life-changingly pertinent. It was doctrinally pertinent to how they were living. And the writer says, they say, listen, this was God's people. They were led by none other than Moses himself. The one that it said where it says in the Word of God, There was no one like Moses. Mm-hmm. There was no one like Moses. This is Moses leading this people. And even at that, they were all not allowed to go in. And while Moses certainly had a special place with God, and you could make the case that at a time Moses was a remnant by himself, because he represented the old, Moses couldn't go in, but the rest of them couldn't go in because of unbelief. That's what the Bible says. They couldn't go into the promised land. Moses had his own place with God. But the rest of them lost their place with God because of unbelief. That's what the scripture says.
Right.
And so it's making the point that those people that are God's people, because they were God's people, when unbelief gets involved and takes it to a level to where you are not walking the remnant lifestyle that God has chosen you to walk in, that it puts things in peril for you. And the writer then says, read verse 1 of chapter 4 again, Benji.
Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it.
Now, clearly, he's talking to Christians. Clearly, he's talking to people that are supposed to be Christian, that are supposed to be serving God. And I don't want to get in. This is not the time, nor is it the place to discuss the all once saved, always saved, and all that time. This is not the time for that. What it is the time for is exactly what the writer said. Where is the fear in God's church to say, if I'm not walking according to God's covenant ways, if I'm not walking according to the remnant plan, if I'm not walking according to this, then I might not enter that rest. I might not, just like God's people who were saved out of Egypt, they didn't do it. The writer says, That anyone who does not have that fear and it leads to unbelief, they might not either. If you go further into the book of Hebrews, into chapter 12, it goes so far as to says, lest any man fall short of the grace of God. If any man falls short, you see, that's not being taught.
No wonder they wanted to take out the book of Hebrews.
Exactly. That's not being taught in the church today, so that leads me to you quickly read to me right before we started the questions. One of them was about chasing. What was that question?
Does God chase us?
Well, I think that's a good place for us to begin to answer that question. You see, we have this idea that God's grace just chases us down wherever we go.
I'm thinking of a song I could sing right now, but I'm not going to do it. But I'm thinking of a very prominent Christian song.
Well,
that I could
God,
sing.
God's grace just
all about.
It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter God's love and grace. It's just chasing you down. It's just running you down. Well, and
you're singing the song.
But the scripture I just quoted belies that point when it says, lest any man fall short of the grace of God. You see, let me make this clear. The Bible does allude to the fact of God reaching out to us. It talks about the good shepherd not wanting to leave any sheep behind. There's other scriptures. But God did that. He did that when he sent his son. He said, this is my way of reaching into the world,
yes,
and giving you a way to walk through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. He said, this is my way of reaching out to you. I sent my son. He lived his life. His perfect life, he was crucified. He took the sin of the world and put it on his shoulders and buried it. He rose again. He now sits as an intercessor at the right hand of the Father. He has made you, given you the ability to be joint heirs with him. I reached out to you. And then God says, now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do?
In other words, you've got to make the choice.
You have to make the choice to go through the door and then to take up your cross daily.
He makes the way for you. You have to choose to go that way. He leads. You have to choose to follow.
Jesus made it clear. He said, take up your cross. Follow me. He said, do it daily.
Daily. It's an active, daily, ongoing, consistent.
Lest any man fall short of the grace of God. And I want to reference something again. And maybe I might be doing it two or three times during our podcast here. But yesterday, we were riding in the car, and actually, it was after dinner, and Julie was driving. I just like to sit and relax after we eat dinner. And so I always say, you drive, and I just sit there. But I pulled out my phone, and I began to read to her the message that I quoted, and well, I've quoted it in several services here, by A.W. Tozier. Because I wanted us to reread some of the things that he said, where it's just amazing how he ministered this, you know, 70 years ago or something like that. But it sounded like he was speaking to the church that's going on right now. And he over and over again in this message said, he said, I'm frightened. He said, I'm frightened. He said, because there's this remnant theology. He said, and the problem is that all the people going to church think they're the remnant, that they all raise their hand and say, yeah, I believe in the remnant. I'm a part of the remnant. He said, but they don't realize they're not. And he went on to discuss about how few the remnant actually is. And I think that's your other question, actually. So I don't want to get a hold. I don't want to get a hold, get ahead of myself.
Would it be accurate to say that they think that they're the remnant just because they call themselves Christians?
Well, that is accurate. And some even get more discriminating than that with why they think they're the remnant. But the problem is they're all wrong. And Tozier even went on to say, he said that people think so strongly, they're so deceived in this notion that they're the remnant. He said they've taken themselves for granted. That's the way he said it. He said they've taken themselves for granted in the same way Samson took himself for granted, where he said Samson ended up blind and working like an oxen because he took things for granted. Mm-hmm. We've got to understand, I know the actual question was, does God chase us? As long as we think God chases us, then it doesn't matter what we do, because God's going to chase us down. As long as we think, that whole idea of God chasing us is
I don't have to do anything.
Insidious. And it's as much from the pits of hell as murder. It's as much as pits of hell as lust. It's as much from the pits of hell as anything else, because it is leading people to hell. Because as long as you think God chases you, then you think, oh, I'm okay.
That's clothed in pride.
Absolutely.
That's just absolutely.
And maybe laziness too.
Well, it's closing a lot. Yes, but the basic. Well, let me just quote the scripture I've been quoting a lot recently, and this is why
I know exactly
why the Bible says this. It says, "God gives grace to the humble, but He opposes." He opposes. Some translations say He resists, but it means to oppose. He opposes the proud. That's why it says it. And people that they don't know, you know, I said on Sunday, and I'm going to say it again, there's nowhere in the Word of God that says because you talk like a Christian, because you listen to Christian music, because you tell people you love them in the name of the Lord, because you say hallelujah. There's nothing in the Bible that says that means you're going to heaven. That's not what God is. God is looking for the remnant to do remnant things like they've done from the beginning of time. That's what God, that is what, well, that's why I wrote that book about the remnant, because people need to know what God is looking for. And that book is a couple hundred pages of what God is looking for from the remnant. That book will never take the place of the Word of God for certain, but I do my best. You help me write it. You know that it's, every page has scripture on it, because we're trying to help people understand from the Word of God what God desires from the remnant. But this whole notion that God chases us down is from the pits of hell. If that particular song you were mentioning or any other song comes down, you ought to flip it off as fast as you can, because God does not chase. He chased us when he sent his son. That's what he did. But when you have in your mind that God chases you no matter what, oh, God's love, his grace, it just chased me down. It found me in that bar. It found me at that ball game. It found me. I was sitting there and I was watching my kid on a Sunday morning play travel ball. And God's grace just hit me smack in the, it just found me. As long as you're thinking like that, you're in danger. You're in danger.
Those are the kind of thoughts that'll make you think it's okay to go to your kids' ball games every Sunday. You think, I can just say a quick praise God while I'm sitting here every Sunday.
Well, and let me say this.
Have church in the car on the way there.
Absolutely. Let me say this.
It's sad. We laugh, but it's really sad.
Saying the name of Jesus, doing things in the name of Jesus, does not mean you're a Christian. Even in fact, Jesus himself said, he said, there are those that are going to come and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We ministered in your name. Lord, Lord Jesus, we said your name all the time. We were in the car and we told our kids, hey, we're going to have a quick service real quick so that we don't forget that this is the Lord's day. Lord, Lord, Lord. And he said, I'm going to look at you and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Boy, what a dangerous theology that is, that God chases you down. What a dangerous theology that is. I hope if you're listening to my voice that you immediately get that out of your life. And if anyone ever tries to tell you that God chases you down, I pray you have the boldness to look at them and say, that is a pack of lies. You don't have to explain it but you need to look at them and say, that's a pack of lies. And then you need to walk away and say, I don't want to hear that in my ears. God does not chase us down. That is not how God does things. That is not how God chased us when he sent his son. He sent the good shepherd so that none would be lost. Now it's up to us. Now it's up to us to what we're going to do. Are we going to climb the mountain? Which is a good place to lead us to your second question, which I kind of already spilled the beans on a little bit, but that's okay. We're not trying to hide these things. So go ahead. What was the second question?
I'm just going to read it I've got it spelled out here, and then you can elaborate. How few are the few there are who find it?
Well, you know, that's been, I talked about this on Sunday, and I even, you know, I like to be transparent in everything and in every way. That's just I believe that is the way to be. Even when it shows that I might not have the answer for something, I like to be transparent about it. And I said on Sunday that I personally have struggled, because all of us have learned certain things throughout our growing up in the Lord. All of us have learned, but then God begins to bring revelation. And you know, maybe people are watching this that don't know me, but that's what I'm called to. That's what God called me to. And I can't get into all the signs and things that back up what God has chosen me to do. But that's what I've been chosen. That's what God has given me as a gift, is this revelation. And as you begin to have revelation about these things, you realize that number very well might be a lot fewer than we ever thought. And I'm going to go back to A.W. Tozier for a moment. A.W. Tozier, that's really when he ministered this message about the remnant. You know, A.W. Tozier was not a prophet. A.W. Tozier was not someone that walked, he was not called for that. But he was someone that had a desperate heart for God. And as he looked at the Word of God and he looked over the Scriptures, he all of a sudden realized, and you read it in his writing, he kept saying, he said, "I'm scared. I'm scared because I all of a sudden have realized that this remnant, it not only is real, but it is set out throughout the entire Word of God. And it really is a few." Not because God's desire is not for all to be saved, but God's remnant has always ended up being just a few. He said, and this is frightening to me. He went on to say, he said, "I watch churches empty out, and I see the thousands that empty out these churches, and I think to myself, these people, they're not going to heaven." And I won't get into again the whole article, the whole message that he spoke. But how many is few? The further I go, the fewer it seems to be. The fewer it seems to get. We talked about Israel, and when they entered the promised land, there were two. There were two. It was Jacob. And it was Caleb.
Caleb and Joshua.
Excuse me. Yes, thank you. You all know how I am with names. Caleb and Joshua. That was it. That was it. You go on. We talked about many times about Elijah. And Elijah got into the cave and he said, "God, I alone, I'm it. I'm the last." And Tozier talked about this. He said, "I'm the last one. I'm it. There is no one else on this planet that serves you, God. No one else." He said, "I'm the last person on the planet that serves you. There's no one else serving you, God." And God came to Elijah. He said, "Well, you're close. You're close." He said, "There's 7,000. He said, "You're close." And Tozier even said, he said, "People say, look, there's 7,000. He said, "But do you realize that 7,000 out of the millions of Israel, and he even had the numbers broken down. He said, if there was 1,000 people worshiping God in a synagogue or some gathering, he said, only one of them was a remnant. He said, it's that few. It's that few. And he went on to give more examples and from the New Testament and other examples. How few is few? It's few. And as Jesus said, he said, "Wide is the gate that leads to destruction." Mm-hmm. He said, "But narrow is the way, the gate. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and there are few who find it." And it always, we've talked about this before, you and I. You've mentioned this to me, and it just baffles me how the church world can stand up and say, "Oh yeah, we believe that scriptures too," and they look and say, "Look, we're all a part of the remnant. We're all, oh yeah, we're a part of it, all of us." Yeah, they'll have a stadium with some so-called Christian concert. They'll have 50,000. Oh yeah, we're all a part of the remnant, and that's not what the remnant is. The remnant idea is that it is a very small, just something that has been saved, just a very leftover small idea of something. That's why it was Joshua and Caleb. That's why it was the few with Elijah. That's why it was
Noah.
It was, thank you. I knew I was forgetting a good one. Noah. Think about this. The entire world died. And there were 8 people that were saved. 8. And people today, they say, oh, well, God loves people. Of course he does. But did God not love the people in Noah's day? Does God change? Did God hate people in Noah's day? And today, all of a sudden, he loves people? No, God has always loved people. But there were 8 people that were saved.
I'm quickly reminded, I don't remember exactly where it was, those verses that you read yesterday where it was, one man will be taken, one will be left, one woman will be taken, one will be left.
Yes, yes. Well, that I read those scriptures.
That was in Matthew, I believe.
Yes, right? I read those scriptures to make the point that people don't understand. Things might look the same now, but that doesn't mean that things aren't getting ready to happen. That doesn't mean that things aren't getting ready to happen. Just because they look, Jesus said it's going to be like the days of Noah. He said it'll be like the days of Noah. He said people might be working at the mill. They might be working at the mill. We get this idea that we're safe. We take things for granted, and we think that we're safe because we don't see the dragons flying through the sky. We don't see
the moon turning into blood.
The stars falling. Mm. We don't see, you know, a person with that looks like a bird flying through the sky. And people say, well, you know, we've got time. But that's not what Jesus said. He said it will be like the days of Noah. Again, there were only 8 saved in the days of Noah. And he said, there'll be 2 people working. One will be taken and one will be left. Again, I don't want to get into all that and all the theology of all that. But I need you to understand how few is few. Well, everything in the Word of God, let me get in close so you can understand me. Everything in the Word of God points to it is few. And if that doesn't strike fear in your heart, you say, well, don't talk to us about fear. But didn't he? That's why I had him start with the scripture in Hebrews. It said, let every man fear, lest you be seen to fall short of making it into this rest in the same way that Israel did. How few is few? Again, I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. I'm not the man that's going to stand up here and relegate people to hell. I'm not going to, that's for God.
Right, right.
But I am going to get up here and say, few is few. Few is few.
You have to give the warning. Somebody's got to say
the
it.
The devil has
somebody's got to warn.
Blinded people to the church. And the devil said, I've got this plan. I'm going to take certain words, and they're going to be Bible words. They're going to be God words. I'm going to take these Bible words and Bible ideas, and I'm going to use them to send people to hell. Because without revelation, mm-hmm. the things in the Bible are just words.
Right.
They're just right. words. They're the same words you'll find anywhere. Without revelation, they're just words. And so the devil says, I'm going to take Bible words and I'm going to talk about things like love, and I'm going to talk about things about giving to the poor. I'm going to talk about things I'm going to use the prodigal son. I'm going to use certain parables. I'm going to use certain things, and I'm going to pull those out, and they're going to latch on to those things, and they're going to miss the truth behind it, the revelation behind it. He said, and I'm going to send all these people to hell, and they're all going to sit there
thinking that they're thinking doing what pleases God,
that they're Christians. And again, I know that people hear this and they say, well, that's just not, that can't happen. Then why did Jesus say to them, why did he say they're going to come and they're going to say, Lord, Lord,
Right.
Lord, Lord, we prophesied. We did all, we had concerts. We ministered. We laid hands on people. We anointed people. We sat there every night and raised our hands in our bedroom listening to music. Jesus said, I'm going to look and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. And again, I hesitate to say this because I don't want to sound self-aggrandizing, but I do, but I feel like in a way I need to. There's a reason why God has chosen this heritage to be, to give this message, at least, or at least to be one of the few that give this message. And that's because we have going on 200 years of unmistakable proofs. And God's prophetic word that cannot be challenged. It literally is a part of the history books to say this is where God's anointing is at. And we used to be shy about saying that, saying, well, we don't want people to think, you know, that we think we're somebody. But it's not that. We know we're somebody. But we're only somebody because God has made us somebody.
Right. And we lay it down every single day. And we surrender.
And we just want people to know that few is few. Few is few. And in our own heritage. In our own heritage, as going on millions of Armenians being either killed or tortured or displaced, there were a handful of people, a small remnant that God said, I can use them. I can use them. So we know about remnant. We know about remnant. And we know what few is few means. And so I know people from our ministry, our churches are watching this. But I pray somehow that either others are watching or that if you're a part of this ministry, you either get others to watch or you tell them yourself that few is few. And they're going to hear the message here. They're going to hear the message here that they need to listen to.
And once you start understanding, and this is really what we said probably the first time we started really talking about the remnant, how God always has a remnant. Once you understand the pattern throughout the Bible of God always having a remnant, which we drill into people here at this ministry over and over again, I mean, you start to realize that that's how it is. It's God's always been that way, and the worst thing you can do when you realize that is ask, why? Why does God always have a remnant? It's time to put that question away and just trust that being a part of the remnant is that ticket to heaven that we're looking for.
Well, there's a lot of things we don't know. My wife will tell you. I tell her every day.
Right.
There's a lot of things we don't know. A lot of things we don't know. There's a lot of things we don't understand. But you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with not knowing. As I said, I've been called to revelation. But one of the things that I've learned about God giving revelation is that you have to be okay not knowing some things. Mm-hmm. You have to be okay just believing. Because there are those times that God looks at me and he says, I'm telling you this. You don't have to know the rest. I'm telling you this. And you have to be able to look at God and say, you told me, I trust it. That's all that matters.
Everybody in the Bible had their victory when they had faith and trust in God. They didn't get their victory by knowledge.
Surrender.
And so I end this podcast by saying this. How few is few? The further I go, the fewer it seems to be. And I'm not going to be the one to sit here and say and just send people to hell. I am going to be the one that sits there and says, you had better fear the Lord and listen. Believe me, don't believe me, but listen to someone that has been anointed of the Lord and chosen of the Lord to speak this message. And if you believe this message, then you need to begin to share it. You need to begin to tell your children, your spouses, your friends. Say, oh yeah, but they're sitting in church right now. They're sitting there. They're going to church. And just remember what Tozer said. He said, these churches are emptying out. They're emptying out. He says, I'm scared because they're not the remnant. And so I say to you, where is the fear of the Lord? Where is the fear of the Lord? Does God chase you down lest any man fall short of the grace? No, he doesn't. He chased us when he sent his son. He chased us by giving his son his life, and he opened the door. He opened the door. Who will walk in? Who will look at the door? Who will knock on the door? Who? Well, I don't know. But you got to go through the door and allow God to use you. Allow God to change you. Allow God to put you on the pathway of holiness, the highway of holiness. Allow God to do these things. And as he does it, you'll see. Phew. Wow. It's a lot fewer than I thought. A lot fewer than I thought. Benji, close us out.
All right. Keep an eye out for all of our regular functions that we have going on, our services, Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in person at the City on a Hill Church. And we also got those available on our online social platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, City on a Hill Church, Coa Church. Keep an eye out for all of our online functions, devotions every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. Available on our online platforms and also on wherever you can get your podcasts, such as Spotify, Siri, and Alexa can play them for you. And if you haven't caught my Remnant 101 from Tuesday, talking about, which I'm not going to say what it's about, but it's really prophets was the focus of it. That makes what was said today a lot more important. It should catch your ear.
Well, let me just end by saying this. I talked about Noah. There were eight people. I talked about in the time of Israel, there were two people. I talked about Elijah, the millions of Israel. There were only 7,000 people. I talked, I feel like I need to make this clear. I'm not trying to put a number on the remnant. I want to be careful. I'm not trying to put a number on the remnant. But I want you to think about this. Based on what you see in the Word of God, and I want to be very careful. I don't want to say, I don't know the number. I don't know the number. But I think it behooves us, that's a good old Christian preaching word for everyone, it behooves us to at least think to ourselves, well, it is thought right now that there's, I don't know, a billion Christians on the planet, a billion of them are Christians, or I don't know where I'm thinking, it's something like that, that there's a billion Christians. What if out of that billion Christians, again, I'm not saying this is the number. I'm just trying to apportion what we see in the Word of God to today. What if out of that billion, there's actually only 100 million? You see, 100 million Christians sounds like a lot until you realize...
That's 10% of a billion.
Until you realize that that's only 10%. And if you go by the biblical standard, and again, I want to be very careful. I want to be very careful because when you start getting into numbers like this, most people don't know me. I never want to step on the feet of God. Right. Never. Right. I want to be so careful.
Right.
But I also want to bring the requisite fear of the Lord that needs to be brought. What if the examples in the Word of God actually are how it happens? What if that actually is true? What if actually out of every 10 Christians you know, only one are going to heaven? What if it's not that? What if out of every 100 Christians you know, only one is going to heaven? Or what if it's what Tozer said? What if out of every 1,000 Christians you know, only one is going to heaven? Think about it. It's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. Tozer kind of had a resignation. And he said, there's really nothing I could do about it. But the prophetic word in me says we have to try with every person we can. We have to try personally. Our ministry here at this church is not necessarily what you would consider evangelistic in nature. But every person at this church had better be an evangelist. Mm-hmm. Right. Every person.
Right.
Because there are few who find it. God bless you. We'll see you next time.